J1.
Number 6B.
In Science and Health, we read also, mind and its formation can never be annihilated. Get the feeling of what mind is creating. Mind is creating a spiritual, mind's formations are always spiritual, and mind's formations can never be annihilated. For we read, again in Science and Health, the time approaches when mortal mind will forsake its corporeal, structural, and material basis, when immortal mind and its formations will be apprehended in science, and material beliefs will not interfere with spiritual facts. Now, late in the 1800s, in early 1900s, Mrs. Eddy wrote, and we go again and we take the sentence apart. We think of the time that she wrote this even. She wrote, the time approaches when mortal mind will forsake its corporeal, structural, and material basis. She saw that the time approaches when mortal mind will forsake its corporeal, structural, and material basis. And just now in 1970, as we read in the Illustrated London News, it says, and I quote, if he is right, meaning Dr. Foster, then the old epoch of scientific materialism is quite definitely at an end. So what Mrs. Eddy said, the time approaches when materialism is at an end right now in 1970. They say if Dr. Foster is right, then scientific materialism is quite definitely at an end. And again, from this paragraph, Mrs. Eddy said again in earlier times, she said, the immortal mind and its formations will be apprehended in science. And as we read in 1970 from this London News, from now on we scrutinize the heavens and the molecules of organic matter, or on the assumption that they reflect an information code rather than purely mechanical laws of nature. We can just begin to get the feeling here that these world scientists are standing at the brink of reality, so to speak. They're really standing on the brink of discovering and understanding in science immortal mind and its formations. They're getting close. They're asking, as we say, the right questions. Who is coding? What is coding the universe? And as one therefore sees, as they drop off materialism, they won't ask matter who is coding the universe. But you see, they begin to ask something like God, who is coding, and they'll say God. You see, now they're asking right questions, and they're searching into spiritual realms for these answers. And now you begin to see, ever since the turn of the century, scientists and physicists all are bringing God into their dissertations and talks, because they're searching for spiritual answers to their discoveries. Because once materialism is wiped out from under them, they've got to search for higher laws, you see, and they search for the spiritual. So we see, therefore, then, that immortal mind gives the information code that forms man and the bud and the blossom. And as we have seen, therefore, immortal mind's formation are spiritual, and therefore immortal mind's formation are permanent. They cannot be annihilated. Okay, now we come from mind forms, and we come to another characteristic to get a warm feeling of what mind may be. And we come to cause. And let's just reason it out logically again. Because mind, therefore, is the only creator or producer or parent mind, and that mind is the only parent mind which forms the image, or which forms man, or which forms the bud and the blossom, then we can say that mind's creative impulse is causative. If mind is the creator which forms the image, then mind's creative impulse is causative. Therefore, mind has to be understood as the cause of all effects. Mind is the cause of the image we see then, or the bud and the blossom. Mind's creative impulse is causative. Now, cause as a noun means that which produces an effect, or that from which anything proceeds and without which it would not exist. So, as we well know, the human mind is, well, actually the human mind always wants to know how and when and why things happen. We know that something happens, and it's characteristic of the human mind to always ask, well, how did that happen? Or when did it happen? Or where did it happen? It's characteristic of the human mind to always ask after the cause of something. So we see that the human mind is always seeking after a primary cause. So therefore, the question will come up, well, is mortal mind the cause, or is matter the cause, or is the divine mind the only cause? And as we read in the textbook in Science and Health, mind, not matter, is causation. Or we read, divine mind is the only cause or principle of existence. Now here we see, therefore, that mind, logically then, is the cause of every effect. Therefore, mind is actually, we could say, the first cause which governs the universe. And again in Science and Health it says, the real jurisdiction of the world is in mind, controlling every effect and recognizing all causation as vested in divine mind. Or elsewhere we read, again, mind is the cause of every effect, or causation of mind acts through law. Do we again get the feeling of mind here again? Another term we can use to characterize mind, that power of mind, is that mind is the cause of every effect. And again, mind is the cause of every true effect. And as we have seen over and over again, it is just mortal mind's false physical beliefs which distorts that true effect. And therefore we get what appears to be a distorted effect. So, mind is the first cause, and mind is the cause of all effects. That's a way of characterizing mind. And we just go on here. We see, therefore, if mind is the cause, then mind must then therefore be origin, it must therefore be author, and it must therefore be source. Now, it's good to get in our terminology these ways of talking about mind and to know what they mean, because one has them then at our grasp to have these different ideas. Now, if mind is the only cause, then we can say mind is the only origin. And origin, it's fun to look up these words sometime, because you see that origin means, therefore, the first existence or beginning of anything. Or you can see origin means fountain or source or cause, or that from which anything primarily proceeds, that which gives existence or beginning. Origin, here we see, is the fountain, the source, or the cause. And in Science and Health, we read that mind is the origin of science, or mind, the origin of all that science reveals. Now, mind is also, therefore, the only author. Now, author is a noun, and the Latin root meaning of author in its primary sense means one who brings or causes to come forth. Now, it also means author is one who produces, creates, or brings into being. Author means the beginner, former, or first mover of anything, hence the efficient cause of a thing, creator, originator. And it's so beautiful to see that divine mind is the only author, because we think of how many people feel that they are personal authors. But if we know that the divine mind alone is the author of all ideas, mind alone, therefore we really can free ourselves that there's a bunch of little authors running around saying all these little things that belong personally to them. If one is looking out from the divine mind, mind alone is the author of all ideas. And in the textbook, I like to show what is said in Science and Health to verify these things, you know, just here and there sort of way. But we read then that mine, the author of all things, or mine is not the author of matter and illusions. And just as we can say mind is origin or author, we can say mind therefore is source, because we see source appearing in the definition of these other words. And again, source is just similar, it's synonymous, so to speak. Source says, it means, and it's a noun, first cause, original, that which gives rise to anything, or the first producer. So we can very easily say that mind is the source. And in science and health, we just have things like mind, the source of all movement. So, you see, mind is the cause of every effect. Mind is the source. Mind is the origin. Mind is the author. Mind is the, I guess I've said it, cause of everything. Then we can come here to another characteristic of mind as we have on our list, and we move into mind as being first. Now, what does it mean? Let us think for a minute. Why is it used that mind is first there? Now, just to get the feeling, if mind is creator and producer and cause, source, origin, author, then we can see that everything must begin with mind. If mind is cause, then everything must begin with mind. If mind is source, then everything must begin with mind. So therefore, we can say that mind is first. And first, of course, is very closely connected with beginning. And it always means usually coming before others or coming first. Therefore, we must always reason that mind is the beginning of all creation, or mind is the first cause. And in Science and Health, there's a nice thing where it reads, if mind was first chronologically, is first potentially, and must be first eternally, then give to mind the glory, honor, dominion, and power everlastingly due its holy name. And we read, we begin with mind, life begins with mind, we commence with mental causation. Mind is first. Mind is the first medicine. Mind is foremost. So actually, in reasoning things out, we must begin our reasoning first with mind. Mind as the beginning of and the first of all creation. We cannot look, therefore, we know, to mortal mind or reason from matter first. We must look out from mind first to get correct scientific reasoning. Now, what does this do, all these different ideas here now we've kind of thrown out? I think the big thing that we can see, and I think that big term, and this is an idea that really hits home to me, because it's a big point, because one comes to this idea of mind as basis, because this is actually what we've been seeing then. By saying that mind, again, we go down our list, is creator or producer, or parent mind, or cause, we see that mind, therefore, is the basis of reality. Mind is the one and only basis of reality. It is actually that big term here, because it is cause, it is producer, it is the basis. And just in a class working way again, just basis. Let's just see what basis means as a noun. And basis actually comes from that Latin root meaning base. And basis means a foundation upon which something rests. Basis means the chief component of anything, the fundamental ingredient or principle. So we see that mind alone is the foundation of reality. Mind is the basis, or mind alone is the foundation of reality. So we can say mind alone is the chief component, or mind alone is the chief constituent, or mind alone is a fundamental ingredient of reality. Mind is a fundamental principle of reality. Just different ways we can use our terminology to say that mind is the basis. And in Science and Health, to point up mind as basis, it says, the basis of all health, sinlessness, and immortality is the great fact that God is the only mind, and this mind must not be merely believed, but it must be understood. And in Science and Health, it says, the categories of metaphysics rest on one basis, the divine mind. Or the metaphysical basis rests on mind, or only one basis, and that's mind. Or the metaphysician makes mind his basis of operation, or in Science and Health we see that the basis rests on the omnipotence of the divine mind. So, mind is the basis of reality. Yes, my eye falls on something here from the compendium. It says, true metaphysics proceeds from mind and its ideas as the basis of logical thinking. Any deviation from this will lead us astray and rob us of divine guidance. Well, we know that we must always, in order to think logically, look out first from mind and the ideas, and that is our true basis of thinking. Now, we come to another idea, and we go over together, this would be power. And we began to see, like, if mind is creator and producer and parent mind and basis, we began to feel power even in what mind is. But power alone is a characteristic of mind. So we see that mind is the one and only power or force. Mind is the only power. Now, in the world today, we have all things coming up like woman power and art power, I guess, and music power and ladies in the kitchen power and what other kind of things can we have our power? Can you think of any? Everything is, you know, anything is power today. We'll just say woman power, you know, big thing. Or man power. Man power has been along for a long time, right? So, what we see, therefore, it isn't manpower. It's mind power. And in my room at home, because all these powers were coming up, everybody was claiming a power, you know. I just wrote down, you know, like on my wall, I wrote down mind power, because that's really it. It's a key. It's mind power. Mind's the power, you know. Everybody else can run around calling it their power, you know, art power. But it doesn't come up to it, doesn't it? Mind, the fact is it's mind power. Now, let's get into the schooling of this. We have to get in just to the schooling of these definitions in order to feel what they mean. Now, power means the ability to act. And we find very closely related, of course, with power is force. So one says that mind is power or mind is force. Now, mind as power means the ability to act. Force, in a dictionary way, means active power. And in Webster's dictionary we read, power may imply latent or exerted, inherent or acquired, physical, mental, or spiritual ability to act or to be acted upon, where force implies the actual exhibition or exercise of active power, might, operative or effective power or force. So what we see, and it's interesting to see here, that power is the ability to act, but we use forces used as active power. Forces used in the way of saying power made operative. So when one uses your terminology, we say power, it's that inherent latent force. I mean, it's that inherent latent energy, actually, power. It's the ability to act. Force usually means power made operative. Now, both of these definitions of power and force indicate a creative, productive nature. So we could say that the creative process involves power. We must say, therefore, that the creative process must have power. It must have force. So that's why you hear creative power, or you hear creative force. So we have to see that all these terms must be linked together with that characterized mind. When we talk about creator or producer or parent mind or source or origin, we must see that these terms are interrelated. Creator has power. It has to, in order to have the creator work, you see. So we have creative power. You interuse your words, or creative force, you see. So these ideas like creator has to include the idea of power. Now, we read in Science and Health that mind is the grand creator, and there can be no power except that which is derived from mind. And therefore, it reads that divine mind has all power, or mind is omnipotent, another way of saying it, to show power. Or we read that only by understanding that there is but one power, not two powers, matter and mind, are scientific and logical conclusions reached. So we see that there is only one power, because there is only one mind, there is only one creative power, therefore matter is not power, cannot be powerful. And we read in Science and Health, we tread on forces, withdraw them, and creation must collapse. Human knowledge calls them forces of matter, but divine science declares that they belong wholly to divine mind, are inherent in this mind, and so restores them to their rightful home and classification. So all power is in mind. And therefore, we see then in a way here of exercise that if mind is all power, then mind is supreme, we could say, over all these supposed powers. That's just another way of saying it. Or we can say if mind is all power, then mind is the power that heals, you could say. Or mind is the power that strengthens. Or mind is the power that sustains. Even in biblical terminology, you can use Messiah in this relationship with mind. If mind is the divine mind power which operates to heal and save, then you can say that divine mind is the Messiah, because Messiah means Savior. So if mind is that operating power which operates to save, then actually it's divine mind is the Messiah or Savior. The power of mind is the Savior, let's say that. The power of mind is the Messiah in biblical terminology, is just meaning that the power of mind is the Savior. It heals. Mind power again. That's why in Science and Health we read that disease is destroyed by the power of mind, or the might of mind rules out pain, and the power of mind sustains the body. It's just, again, ways of showing that mind is, the power of mind is the healing factor. This, I think, therefore, becomes something that is very logical to us, that mind then is power, and that mortal mind, the universal belief we know so much, that the belief is that matter is power. And it will take quite a while for the world to finally come to the realization of mind power. And we just think of the age and era that we are going into when one really realizes mind power. I mean, and especially if man's whole consciousness is filled with spiritual understanding of, as we saw, wisdom and purity and spiritual understanding. Think of what that mind power will really, the power, if all ideas are in tune with mind, think of the more power that will be generated when this understanding is seen universally, that mind is power. Divine mind is power. That's not human mind. Divine mind is power. So we could say, therefore, that the divine mind or spiritual understanding is all-powerful, and because the divine mind or spiritual understanding is all-powerful, it wipes away false beliefs in one go. Spiritual understanding just wipes away false beliefs. It's all-powerful. If one has spiritual understanding, no more do we have the false beliefs. They go. So spiritual understanding is all-powerful. Now, We see something very closely connected with power of mind. We come then to something like action. Now, let's just for a moment look at action. And why is it a characteristic of mind? Now, logically, if mind is all power and force, then mind includes all action. Or you can say that mind is ever active. If mind is all power and force, then you can say mind is ever active. Now, power means the ability to act, and force means active power. Both have within their meaning action. And therefore, we saw that force actually was power made moving, power made in action. And action, therefore, just means the exerting of power, or it also means the result of putting forth of power. So it's kind of nice to see how we can use those terms. Power is the ability to act. Force is actually active power, and action is the result of that force. It's the movement. You have the ability to act, you have active power then, and then you have the result, which is movement, which we call action. So mind produces all action. If it's powerful, it produces all action. Mind includes all action that we see. Mind is ever active, we can say, or mind is the only actor. And this divine action is always harmonious. And therefore, you can say that there's just the activities of ideas in the universe. And it's interesting to see that these activities of ideas in the universe are harmonious. They're always active, but they're harmonious because they are acting according to law, order, rule, system, vitality, health, design. You see, even though there's omni-action going on in the universe, it is harmonious. It isn't chaotic and scattered everywhere because mind operates according to law, order, rule, system, vitality, you can say, design. So therefore, all action is harmonious. So action is expressed in movement. And to characterize this in science and health, we see that mind is the source of all movement, and there is no inertia to retard or check its perpetual and harmonious action. Now, mind is perpetual motion. This should help us see that this should help us begin to realize that if mind is all harmonious action, therefore this should take care of the feeling when one feels, well, like there is just always strained action or inaction or overaction or apathy or inertia. In reality, we find as action, true action, and one shouldn't always feel a strained action in our life. Actually, if one wakes up, so to speak, goes out from perfection and detaches from opinions, one begins to get into the movement of the harmonious action of being. But one has to constantly detach and keep loose, so to speak. To get into this flow and not strain up our strain and hold against always what is happening. Just loosen and feel the harmonious action of mind.